We're going to New Jersey. And I want to start my sermon with this quick trip to New Jersey. Let me tell you about it. I have a friend younger than me. I got to know her while she was in college, and then she was exploring a call to ministry and felt that God had really called her to ministry. So she ended up at Princeton Seminary and is now a pastor of a church in New Jersey. Her name is Amy Lincoln, and she will introduce herself to you now. I did get to preach her ordination sermon in Tampa. She grew up at Hyde Park Presbyterian Church. Let's hear what she has to share with us.
Hi, and thank you to Jenny for inviting me to share the story of Highlands Presbyterian Church with you. I'm Amy Lincoln. I'm the pastor of Highlands. We merged in 2009, and the project began as four small churches within a 10-mile radius of each other, informally sharing Bible studies, vacation Bible school, and special worship services. And the presbytery took notice of this sharing and the needs of the churches, and decided to help fund with redevelopment money some intentional time of discernment. So we had 3 years where the presbytery put in funds to help these four churches work together to discern where God was calling them to work in the future. I was a part-time pastor during that period of time for the church, and at the end of 3 years of redevelopment work together, one of the four churches decided not to merge, and the three other churches voted to merge and began working together in a formal way. And they asked me to serve as their senior pastor. So I have been the pastor of the merged church of Highlands Presbyterian since 2009. At the meeting where we voted to merge together, we also voted for who would serve on the session in equal numbers. There were people from each of the three congregations to serve equal numbers on the session. And we had before us the words of Jeremiah, which was, you know, I do not mean you harm, but I wish to give you a future with hope. And so it was with those thoughts in mind that the three churches took a step of faith to merge together. Now, we did have three properties which we needed to decide which one to have as our home base for ministry. And so the first task of our new session was to discern together the gifts that we had and how we wanted to share our resource, pool our resources, and how to move forward. So we came up with a mission statement based on the passions of the people who were in the room and what we knew of the churches. And our mission statement was to be a visible presence of God's love in the world. And so once we decided that, then we began to use that as a filter to make decisions about the work that we would do together as the new church, Highlands. So we looked at each of the three properties that we had and assessed what would help us be the most visible presence of God's love. And two of the properties were, well, you don't need to know the whole discernment process, but the Holy Spirit was present in our work together, and we sort of made a strange decision to choose the building that needed the most work to be the one for our home base for ministry. Knowing that there wasn't room to grow in the other ones, and one of the other ones was not in a visible location. And so we began to make decisions based on that, and we sold properties along the way, so that we've sold two church properties, a manse, and a ball field, in order to then pool those resources together and help give the congregation a future with hope. In the time since then, we have renovated the building that we chose to be in, and we had to actually rebuild the sill of that building and redo the outside, and we have redone some of the inside too. And so our goal was to make it a safe and welcoming home base for ministry, and so that's where we minister out of. It is in a building of one of the former congregations, and so that was a little bit of a sticking point where it felt like others were having to sacrifice more, but it has worked out. So far, so good. We will celebrate our 9th birthday on Pentecost Sunday. And although it is a struggle to grow a church right now, we have brought in new members, and some of those members have given us new life and new energy, you know, and new vision that we didn't have previously. One of the things that has been significant about our time together is that instead of being inward focused and worrying about how we were going to fix the roof or how we were going to do the things we want to do as a church, sort of we were in survival mode when we weren't merged. And now we have been able to pool our resources, gifts and talents and funds, and be able to look more outward, to be more of a missional church where we look at the needs of the community and we respond accordingly. I'm trying to think of any other things to share with you. Location, name. We are still discerning what the future will look like. As we've added some new members, we've had older folks pass away, and probably you have a similar situation where it's easy sometimes to feel discouraged, but we have been able to see God's hand at work in our life along the way, to bring us to a place with a future with hope. We are now asking really important questions about how to connect with the community around us. We have begun, now that we have a safe and welcoming home base for ministry, we have begun having other groups rent space in our building. We have hosted a suicide prevention workshop for clergy in order to get the word out about how we can be more fully present with people who are struggling. We have been left a sizable gift of money as well in along this process about 2 years ago. And so we have formed an investment task force and have invested that money and now are looking even wider to the needs. We were able to purchase 2 wells for communities in Africa to take clean water to the folks there who need that desperately. So our vision has widened, even as we have been able to look past our own stuff now and look outward. So I guess I just would like to, I'm looking at my notes, I would like to just encourage you to hold on to hope and know that God is with you, even as you're giving up some things to come together. God will bless you in ways that you can't imagine, and I promise you the Holy Spirit is with you in the journey. It's just most important to sort of try to walk in the other's shoes and try to imagine what it's like to be in a new place and what that might feel like. So I wish you God's greatest blessings in your life together, and say hi to the sunshine down in Florida, because we have snow today in New Jersey. So I wish you the best, and please let me know if you have any questions that I can help you with. So blessings to you and to Pastor Jenny. Be blessed.
This text from Jeremiah have meant a great deal to people through the generations. Perhaps many of you have memorized them and held them close to your heart, both in difficult times and in times of joy. Perhaps you even have them on a card, maybe in a place that you see often, your kitchen window, beside your bed, beside your computer, on the dash of your car, maybe on the home screen of your iPhone. Here is verse 11, the key verse. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord God, plans for your welfare and not for harm, plans to give you a future with hope." God is with us through both good times and bad. You know that, of course, but it's important to remember. This scripture is part of a letter that was sent by the prophet Jeremiah to the exiles who had been taken from Jerusalem all the way to Babylon. Jerusalem has been left destroyed. The leaders and most productive people have been taken away. The city is left a hulk, an empty and broken vessel, now a very sad place. But perhaps even worse is the condition of those who've been taken away, those to whom the letter is written. Homesick, living in a foreign land, kept as captives, they long to return home. But Jeremiah's letter says some hard things to them. He tells them they are not going to come home, not for 70 years. Then I like to play this game of asking you how old you will be in 70 years. You know, I like to pause and let you do the math. How old will you be in 70 years? How many of you will be over 80 in 70 years? Let me see the hands. How many will be over 90? How many will be over 100? There might be some here who would be over 150. Remember, this letter tells the people in exile that they will not be going home for 70 years. And Jeremiah's letter goes on to tell people to quit looking back, but to begin to work and pray for the city in which they are now living. After all, if they are going to be in Babylon for 70 years, what is that, three generations or more? It will be their home, the only home some of them will ever know. Now, that's like the experience of the DACA children and young adults in our community for whom the United States is the only home many of them have ever known. And while I'm not trying to make a political statement of that, I think it's a good current example of what the Jewish exiles were living with in Jeremiah's day. So what about you? What exile have you undergone or maybe undergoing? Long-term sickness? Broken relationships? Misunderstandings? Financial losses? I don't actually like the phrase we hear so much, God has a plan. As if the mistakes we make or the bad situations we get into are God's fault. But I do like knowing that whatever we do and whatever happens to us is not beyond God's sight or God's providence. God can and will give us options for our future. As Jeremiah says, a future with hope, if and when we trust it to God's care. So what about the church of our day? We spent some time last week talking about the good old days, remembering the people and the music and the programs of the past. But Jeremiah's letter tells us that we need to focus not on the past, but on how to be the church, to live out our faith and offer the message of Christ to the people of our own time and place. The question for us is, do we believe that God has for the church plans for the church's welfare and not for its harm? Plans to bring the church a future with hope. I think it's fascinating to listen to Amy Lincoln tell how three merged churches in New Jersey have found that future and that hope as they work together. It's clearly for them a work in progress, as it is for us. But she speaks of how their new mission statement has guided them to be a visible presence of God's love in the world. She tells how they have learned to look outward and not inward, and how they have worked to provide a safe and welcoming home base for ministry. That's some of the story she's told. Now we get to look today at what's important to us as we follow God's lead and rely on God's promise. So once again, we have some things to think about.